up next, could a small mistake like your voicemail cost you a job? And then Morgan Stanley CEO says we need to give up on job land and enter career land. We'll unpack what that means, and we take your calls right now. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and win in your life. Those two things are together, and it makes for a better life. I'm telling you, when you are making good money, but also experiencing a lot of meaning in your work, and that is possible. The dream job is not a fantasy, it's a reality. So let's dive into something that could hold you up, that could delay you. And this is straight from the real world, as everything we do on the Ken Coleman Show is. So a recent TikTok video went viral when a young lady was denied a job due to her voicemail message. The video has now gotten 1.5 million likes and probably counting. Who knows? Can't keep up with that stuff. It is a 19-year-old by the name of Zaniah Jones. So here's what I want to do. I want to play her voicemail in just a second, but I want to give you the full context. She has applied for a job. Where was it? What was the name? Oh yeah, Harris Teeter. She applied for, oh, I know what Harris Teeter is. I don't need to be told in my ear that Harris Teeter is a grocery store. I love Harris Teeter. I'm kidding. I'm having fun. I'm an old man, and so you get offended very easily by things like that. Harris Teeter's a grocery store. I know that. Anyway, she applies for a job at Harris Teeter. And so she's waiting on a call back. And this is what her voicemail sounds like. Let's play it.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
Yeah.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Nye, and I'm back with another banging banger. I'm sorry I couldn't answer the phone. Please leave your name, number. Yeah, you know all that. Yeah, what happened?
Yeah, what's up, Zaniah? This is Ken Coleman. I love the voicemail. Hey, listen, give me a ring when you can. Do you say that to the kids these days? Probably has no idea. If I left that message, she'd be like, what's a ring? He's going to give me a ring? That's creepy. I don't even know him. Okay, I'm playing along because there is a very fun, very personal voicemail. It's her phone. I don't have any problem with that voicemail. If I'm her friends and family, totally get it. Who else is calling your smartphone? Right? Bill collectors? The dentist office? Hey, Zaniah, just calling to let you know your appointment's for Tuesday morning at 8:30. We'll see you there. Love the message. Who else would call? The Harris Teeter manager. It is presumable if you apply for a job at any company that you're going to leave a phone number. And if they call you, which, by the way, little lesson as we go along here, maybe you should have your phone on you at all times and you're waiting for a job opportunity. I'm knowing what the number is and I'm answering it. All right. Well, so she gets a call. The Harris Teeter manager, I don't know this gentleman's name, although I do feel he's a little uptight. It'll make more sense in just a moment. He calls her back, and I don't know, Alex, we don't know, do we, from the story, if he had already decided to give her the position or not, do we? We do not know, but this is what he said when he left a message after hearing that voicemail.
Yes, Ms. Jones, I recommend if you apply for a job and you expect somebody to call you, that you have a more appropriate response on your voicemail.
Wow.
So thank you for applying, and no need to give us a call back here at Harris Teeter.
Oh, so much annoyance dripping off of that guy, wasn't there? By the way, the kids these days... My son told me today on his way to school, I take my kid to school every day. He told me, he's like, Dad, my hoodie is so drippy. And I have no idea what that means. But I'll tell you what was drippy. This guy is so put out. Now, hang with me, because I know that a lot of different people listening to the show and watch the show, and we got a varied opinion. So I'm going to bring it home. I don't know if the guy was going to offer the position, but can I get some reaction in the booth at least? It feels like to me that maybe he was going to, or maybe he wasn't, and this irritated him even more because he's really dropping a life lesson on young Zaniah here in the way he says it. Do you think he was going to offer it and then he got irritated, or he wasn't, and then he thought, well, this validates my judgment and I'm just going to zing her. What do you think, Amanda? Yes or no?
I think that he was calling back to possibly set up an interview.
I do too. Oh, good. That's even better option. Thank you. I offered you A and B and Amanda said, I'm going to take C, Ken. I agree with Amanda, by the way. I think her option is better. What do you think, Joe? Was he going to offer the job or was he going to say, we'd like to have you come in and interview?
The way ghosting is nowadays, yeah. He was definitely going to at least, you know, call it. Call
Very good point, Joe. Employers are ghosting people. Anything different out of you, Alex? You think the same thing?
I think she was probably getting the job until the voicemail.
Getting the job or at least the interview. All right. And so he hears the voicemail and it irritates him. Now, I don't know if you could hear what she said, if it was clear to you folks listening or watching, but she says, I'm back with another banking banger. Leave your number. Yeah, and all that. Yeah, she's got a little spirit, a little soul to it. I don't know what any of that means. But again, I don't know what drippy means from my own kids. You know, and so she's young. She's 19. All right, so what's the lesson? Did she do anything wrong? And this is why I need a gavel. I need my tearaway judge's robe for this. My ruling on this is that she didn't do anything wrong. But did she do the best thing for her? The answer is she did not do anything wrong. It's her personal voicemail. She's got her own personal style. But could she have done it better? Yeah, because the point that the guy makes is not about whether he's right or wrong. It's that we are all judged by people. And so you want to put your best foot forward at all times. This is why we tell people social media posts follow you for the rest of your life. You know, clean it up. If you're applying for a job, we've said this over and over on the program. Companies are going to go to your TikTok page, to your Instagram page. They're going to go to your Facebook page. They're going to go. They're going to look. Because if they see you with an inordinate amount of beer pong pictures on your social media page, it raises concerns. Is it fair? I don't know. That's not what I'm here to debate. So was this guy's comment and decision to not interview her fair? I'm not here to debate that. The point is, he judged her based on that voicemail. And you want to eliminate all that for somebody who just doesn't get it or get you. That is it fair? It doesn't matter. Was it the right strategy? I don't think it was. And you got to think about this, your personal brand. More on that in just a moment. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Over 280 million people have been affected by data breaches this year alone. The need for cybersecurity is exploding. Cybersecurity jobs will grow 33% in the next decade. To meet this demand, Bethel School of Technology has launched a program in cybersecurity. Bethel School of Tech's online boot camp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training with the highest chances of post-school employment. And they do it at a fraction of the cost in a fraction of the time. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman to get started. That's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. So have a little bit of fun at a viral video on TikTok where a young lady had a very fun and personal voicemail, and then the manager who was calling her about a job from Harris Teeter lectured her on how unprofessional her voicemail was. And so I was making the point that It doesn't matter sometimes what's right, what's wrong, what's fair, what's not fair. We just have to understand that we have a personal brand. And that personal brand can get better. It can get worse. And it stays with us. And it is a huge part of what we do. And so as a part of your personal brand, understand that the first impression is a huge part of the brand. And in this case, I don't think the young lady's voicemail was wrong in any way. In fact, quite frankly, I liked it. But when you're applying for a job, maybe I'd change the voicemail to something just a little bit more safe and smart. Now, the team and I have created a great resource that's absolutely free. It's called the Personal Brand Survey. The link is kencoleman.com/brand. It's very easy to remember, kencoleman.com/brand. And it's only going to take you just a few minutes, and it's a free quiz that will help you see what your brand is. What do you think your brand is? Is it match up with what you think? And it'll help you see some of your blind spots. It's a great thing. Go get it. The Personal Brand Survey. It's free. kencoleman.com/brand. All right. Let's get to a couple stories I want to get to make you aware of. We call it our In the News segment. Okay, first headline is Morgan Stanley. Oh boy, this guy, he got frisky. He got a little spicy with a statement publicly. And he basically said, our employees and employees worldwide need to give up on job land and focus on career land. Now, what's he talking about? Incidentally, one of my all-time favorite board games was Candyland. That's of no value at all, but I thought I'd put it in there. And what he's basically saying was, the CEO, by the way, is a guy by the name of James Gorman. And here's what he was saying. Oh, this is going to hack some people off. Please don't comment at me. A, I'm not going to read it. B, I didn't say it. This is what he said. He said, people need to be in the office. He is not a fan of remote work. Oh, boy, there it is. Unleash the hounds. By the way, if you want to get into hot water at the next cocktail party, you don't have to talk politics. You don't even have to talk pandemic. Talk about remote work in a negative light and watch the fireworks take off. Anyway, so this guy goes, look, the people who want to work from home are in job land. They're only thinking about their job. And he's concerned about those people and their ability to build career skills while working remotely. He has a very interesting point. I'm not saying he's right or wrong, but the point he's making is, he's going, look, he's not anti-remote work. He's going, I don't believe you can skill up to the necessary level if you are remote. And this is what he said. Well, if you're in career land, you need to be around other people to learn from them a bit. So if you're thinking about growing your career, you need to be in an office environment and rubbing shoulders and interacting and collaborating and all of the things that come with that. He went on to say, my job running a company is to make sure that we train and develop our employees as professionals to do the job we need them to do. And again, he is equating higher levels of training and higher levels of performance with being in the office. That's what he's doing. And he's not making any apologies about it. You don't have to like it. But I would put this out there because I've had this position from day one on this. And I've gotten killed on social media and on clips of the show. People don't listen to what I say. I'm not anti-remote work. I have said I do not believe that it is the best environment or mode of work to build great communication and thus great culture. I just don't. Is it possible? Of course it is. Has it been effective for many people in many companies? Of course it has. I am not anti. I'm just telling you, if I was running a company, I would not be in favor of 100% remote work. I just wouldn't. This doesn't make me a bad guy. It's not that I don't want people to have a better life, because I would tell you that offering remote work is not a silver bullet to making people happy, and it is not the be-all benefit. It's just not. All right, next story. Cryptocurrency platform pays its global remote workers only in Bitcoin and makes their salaries transparent for everyone to see. Now, I wanted to talk about this story for two reasons. There's two topics I want to touch on here. Number one, Bitcoin and going all in on crypto. Oh, yeah. Kenny Boy is going to wade into crypto for just a moment. I am. And I'm going to make it really quick because I'm not anti-crypto. I am taking a wait and see about crypto, and here's why. And I think you'd be smart to consider what I'm saying and what I'm considering. You will not meet a more... Oh, I'm going to get myself in the hot water here. Let me think about how to say this. You won't find a person on the planet that is more anti-government regulation than me. Do I think regulation on some levels is necessary? Yes. Do I think we have too much of it? Yes. I'm not a big fan of big government. I am, if you want to classify me, and you can't, but I would be very libertarian on this issue. I just believe in individual rights and freedom and responsibility. That's my position. So I don't want the government involved in very much at all. Keep the bad guys off our shores. I understand you got to do some taxing. But don't tell me what I need to do and how I need to live my life. And I think we're all going to be good. So here's the thing, though. While I am for deregulation and I'm not for government regulation, let me say this. Having a centralized bank or currency needed to happen in the United States and in other countries, because if you look back to the history of the United States, when we had the 13 colonies and we were in the pre-Revolutionary War era and during the Revolutionary War and then outside, coming out of the Revolutionary War, you had 13 colonies and more that had their own currencies, and it was chaos. Crypto could lead to chaos. That's all I'm saying. A centralized, or let me put it this way, a recognized, trusted form of commerce is good. With 80 different types of crypto and all the things, it could be chaotic. And if you think it is unhackable, I got some oceanfront property in Arizona I would like to interest you in. So Exodus is the company. Moving into the story, that was bonus content, a little bit of wisdom for you. Don't buy all the ads, because here's the deal. If you watch Matt Damon during the Super Bowl, you pretty much want to sign up for crypto. He's like, only the brave. He's like, all of a sudden I'm courageous and brave by signing up for crypto. Well, no, that's not true. It's good commercial though. So Exodus is a crypto wallet platform, which basically is like a digital wallet for your crypto. And the founder, J.P. Richardson, believes that Bitcoin is going to revolutionize the world. So he's all in. Good for him. I believe it. That's great. I love this conviction. So he pays everybody in Bitcoin. But this is the second part of the story. Not only does he pay the 250-plus employees in Bitcoin, he makes it public. Because it is kind of public. And they could sell or whatever they want to do with the digital asset, but he pays them in Bitcoin, and everybody knows how much they get paid. And I'm going to tell you something. This is a mounting, this is some momentum behind this, and I think it's a horrible leadership decision. And it is letting everybody know what everybody makes. Folks, that is a recipe for toxic stew. It's nobody's freaking business. It never promotes what you want to promote. It promotes jealousy, backbiting, and unhealthy competition. There, I said it. Keep people's salary private. It's best for people. Ah, yes, helping you make more income and experience more impact. Truly living your dreams out, funding your dreams, making a huge contribution to the world in your unique way. This is the Ken Coleman Show. That's what we do. I'm here for you. It's pretty amazing that we live in a world where If you think about every area of your life, you can do a lot of stuff with just a click of a button. Technology's changed the game. Think about it. You can unlock your car, watch a movie, call your best friend, pay your bills, and now you can even do more with one click, like finding a job that takes you from paycheck to purpose. Visit my friends at ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. It is free. It is easy. It's a great strategy to help you level up, move to the next rung on the ladder. As I wrote about in my best-selling book, From Paycheck to Purpose, that's why I endorse ZipRecruiter. They're the best at what they do. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. All right, this is very exciting. I am a preacher's kid. My dad's retired. But because of that, I love alliteration. I love when words sound similar. I just can't help it. I was trained on it, and this makes me very happy. We are going, this is, by the way, this is my next novel, Anna from Savannah. I just stole it. That's it. That's the title. Actually, I can't write that book at all. What would I know? It sounds like a book my daughter should write, right? It's like a teen come of age kind of novel. It'd be great. But it's actually Anna, who's on the line in Savannah, Georgia, one of the great cities of the South. Anna, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Good afternoon, Ken. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet. How can I help?
Sure. Before I ask my question, I just want to take a moment to commend you for explaining through multiple examples of how a four-year college education is really not essential for everyone.
Yes.
And I say this as someone who works in higher ed.
Oh.
So here's my question.
Whoa, that's interesting.
Yes. I'm a big proponent of community colleges and technical colleges.
Good.
And that's part of the work I do as well.
Oh, good.
Okay, so I'm 51 years old, and I've been working at a state agency as a director in that higher education adjacent field.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been looking to leave for the past several years. I'm considering an individual contributor role at a very well-funded nonprofit that is also higher education adjacent, but it will include an 18% pay cut, and health insurance will cost a little bit more. So I've reached a crossroads now where I've tried to leave before, and I'm not sure if I should jump on this opportunity or stick around a little longer.
Is it, did I hear you say it's another state job? So still state employee?
No.
It's private sector.
It's nonprofit, and I've researched their 990s for the past 6 years.
Have they offered you the position, or this is just something you're looking at as a target?
They offered.
How long ago?
About a week ago. So I have a few more days to make a decision.
Oh, I like this. So you have a lot of discipline. You know, it's hard for people to wait a week to reply on an offer. And so you've got them wondering right now, don't you?
Yes, but to their credit, they have done a fantastic job of, I said, you know, I want to talk to some people who work there, because I've actually worked with some of these people in a different capacity within this organization and at another organization I work with.
If you don't mind me asking, what's the 18% actually equal to? What's the full amount that they've offered less than what you're currently making?
Sure. So I make $100,000 and they've offered $82,000, and that's what I negotiated for.
Oh, you negotiated to $82,000?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Okay. Well, I really kind of think you want to pass on this unless here's the asterisk to that. Unless you can absorb that, if you can absorb the cut and it doesn't really truly negatively impact you.
Mm-hmm.
And the health benefit costs. So we got multiple costs. We got less in the old check, which means less net coming home. And then we got, higher expense for healthcare. If you can absorb that, and it is such a great increase in your quality of life, and you feel like you can't stick it out any longer. So I know I'm giving you three, because I really want you to pass on this. But if those three things are all true, then I'd be fine with you taking the cut.
Right.
Do you
understand
those three things?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So cause here's the thing. I think I don't want you to limit yourself. I don't think this is the only sweet spot type work that you can do at 51 years young, not years old, because you dropped your age in there on purpose, which leads me to believe you think you can't get much more.
It's been hard. I have interviewed at a couple of just single institutions, and the offers I've received have been around that $82,000 mark, to be quite honest.
Are they all in the nonprofit space?
They're actually in higher ed, so not in nonprofit.
Let me ask you this. What is the role? Give me the 20-second description of this work and why you want to do it, this new opportunity.
Okay. So I'm going to describe it in a way that I don't, because if I identify, it might be revealing.
Totally understand. Yeah. All I'm looking for is the type of work and why you love it. Keep it real high level.
Sure. Okay. Perfect. Okay. So the work itself I do, and I think it's really rewarding because I get to be an advocate for our constituents and I get them the services that they need through third party providers.
Great. So that's perfect description. That's so you are
basically what I do.
And you, what do you love most about it?
I really like getting our constituents deals, and I enjoy the negotiations with those third-party providers.
I love that.
Some people don't like negotiating at all, but I'm really drawn to it. So that's been really fun, and I would get to do that in the new organization.
Which is why you're willing to take a pay cut, and I'm guessing the culture's better, too. What would be the other positives for taking the gig at a pay cut?
Okay, so let me tell you a little bit more about what I've experienced here to give you a little more context.
Sure.
We temporarily lost state funding in 2020, and that organization has been the organization I'm in has been a revolving door long before the pandemic year. So we've lost about 40% of our staff. Mm. And like I said, I've almost left before, but declined offers. So what I'm afraid of is that even though I've made a lot of improvements here in this role, I feel like the problems might be so systemic that I might not be able to ever hire and build that robust team due to our funding issues.
I'm going to tell you something right now. You've heard me talk about this on the show, I'm guessing, where sometimes fear is telling us the truth, and in that case, it's protecting us. Sometimes it's lying to us and holding us back. I got news for you.
Right.
Having worked in state government before, when I was in politics as a young guy in my 20s, it ain't getting any better. Lightning will strike in the same place twice before you will get true systemic breakthrough in state government. I'm just going to tell you. I don't mind telling you that. So your fear is correct. Here's the only thing that I want to challenge you on.
Okay.
When you described at a very high level what you do and why you love it, I think you owe it to yourself to look into the private sector where the money is better. And find ways that you can advocate for people by getting them. I'm keeping this high level based on what I heard. Your jam, the juice for you, is when you can sit back and go, I helped somebody get something they needed at the best possible price.
Exactly.
All right, then. That's available in the private sector where you can make more than you're making now, not take less. Now, if it's so bad that you just got to hit the eject button, I'm okay with you taking this because I think you told me you can absorb it financially. But I would like to have your eye on the next. And maybe this is a 6-month stop for you. I just want to challenge you that you've not looked hard enough in the private sector for that kind of work.
I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Yes, you would.
My whole career has been in higher ed.
But here's the deal. That you think that because you've been in higher ed, that you can't go anywhere else. It's like you're saying, I'm a panda, and because I'm a panda, they won't put me in the giraffe pen. It's ridiculous. You have all kinds of experience and skill set that's transferable, and you just told me what the job description, what the target is. Mm-hmm. I want to advocate for people to get a product or service at a better price. You know where to look for that. Go look for it. Just try it. What do you have to lose? Oh, it's Anna from Savannah. You need to look harder. You didn't even look. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. We're helping you make more money and experience more meaning. I want you to win it in your work life, not just in your home life. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Harlan next, who joins us in Atlanta, Georgia. Harlan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. How's it going?
I'm living the dream, Harlan. Yes, sir. What's going on?
Awesome. Hey, I just had a quick question for you. But first, I wanted to just thank you, for your expertise as well as Dave Ramsey's. Your expertise in finances and your wisdom. I appreciate what you guys have to say on the show.
Thank you.
And because you obviously have a lot of wisdom in that area.
Thank you.
I'm currently creating my graphic design portfolio. And I have this thing of like, what I basically do is I do like 5 actions a day to move forward in my graphic design career. And I just thought of like calling in as, thought maybe you have like advice or I don't know, input in terms of like what, that maybe for the next step I should do in terms of, just like moving forward in that direction.
Okay. Tell me what
I used to be in the field. I got completely out of the field.
Oh, okay. No. Okay. So that helps. So you're not currently employed as a graphic designer. Are you doing any side hustle at all, or are you just messing around to keep your skills relevant when you say you're trying to do 5 things a day?
Yeah, I'm doing other stuff easy jobs rideshare, Lyft and Uber to make money. I'm not making money with graphic design currently.
Sure. How long were you in graphic design?
I got my degree in it 10 years ago. I made almost 6 figures with it, like right out of college, but I went in this like long bunny trail of trying like 100 different careers.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm just, I don't know. I'm just getting back to what I'm good at, et cetera, et cetera.
So all right. So do you love
the bottom again kind of thing?
I know. Bless your heart. How old are you?
I'm 31. Yeah, I'm 31.
Bro. Okay. Now I'm going somewhere with this, but I want you to hear what I'm saying. You just called me. I don't know diddly stinking squat about graphic design.
Okay.
And you got a degree in it and came out of college and made 6 figures in this. Well, I think you know more than you're giving yourself credit. Now, listen, bro, I could give you some overall advice, but it's not going to be about graphic design. It's going to be, how about using the proximity principle? Because you have experience. You have some relationships. You know where graphic designers work. You probably, in a short amount of time, could get up to speed on what the latest techniques or softwares or whatever. I mean, I'm already over my skis. Am I right, Harlan? What do you want me to tell you? Because I think you're looking for more, because you know everything there is to know, or at least you know plenty to know about getting back in it. And you also know that you want to do it, right?
Right.
Then freaking do it, man. I think that's why you called me. You need me to tell you that it's okay to get back in it. Because you need to be getting some gigs on the side right now. Like, your mom's best friend just started a bakery down the street and she needs help with a logo and all these things. Then fine, go do it for free for her. Get your portfolio back up and running. Crush it for her like she's a Fortune 500 company, you know what I mean? Do something for your local church. Do something for the local charity down the line. Whatever, man. Like, start designing again, which, good on you, you're doing. But you need to build a portfolio. But you need to be actively out there applying for jobs and using the proximity principle. Use my resume guide. Use the How to Win the Interview guide. All those things are free except for the book, The Proximity Principle. I'll give that to you today.
Okay.
But you just need me to push you. Go do it. And
cool.
Stop relying. I love your hustle. I love that you're doing rideshare and all that just to keep pay the bills. You know what? You need to make your full-time job after that. You don't sleep. You're out there making connections. I'm serious. You're making connections to companies that have open positions for graphic designers. And if you got to take a job making 70, take it. Swallow your pride and get back on the ladder. It won't be long before you're climbing. You know that, and I know it, don't you?
Okay, yeah.
Then go do it. No more. Go do it. You're a rock star. Act like a rock star designer and go do what you know you want to do. Helping you win at work and in your life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. It's fun stuff. We're talking about making dreams realities. Mercedes is up next on the line in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Mercedes, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm living the dream, Mercedes. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up today?
So I'm calling because I've been with my company about 1.5 years now, and I had my first review this past week. Uh-huh. I was super excited for it just because I've been working really hard. I've kind of had a plan going with my manager of how to do more, contribute more to the team. Mm-hmm. And I was really just expecting a promotion and a really good raise, to be honest.
Oh.
And
let me guess.
We didn't get it. No, I didn't.
Oh, man. What happened? What'd they tell you?
Well, I work remotely, so the review was over the computer, and we got to the end of it, and basically everything was kind of already typed out on a document of what my raise was, and no mention of a promotion, even though we've been talking about it for like the past 6 months now.
So you did get a raise?
I did.
How much of a raise?
A 5% raise.
And you wanted how much?
I was expecting maybe 10. I feel like we've been kind of going on this path of getting me there. I've been doing the extra tasks, the things. I do everything that someone in the position above me does.
What was the review? What was the review like? All positive?
Yeah, it was all positive. And so that's why I was so excited for it, because I thought we were just on the same page and had the same goal.
Okay. And just a couple more quick questions. So I'm totally on the same page with you. So the person you did the review with over Zoom or whatever is the person you've been having ongoing conversations with about you stepping into a true promotion. You're saying those have been
correct.
Active conversations.
Yes.
What was the last, just sum it up. You don't have to tell me everything that was said. What was the basic last conversation prior to the review about you being promoted? What was that like?
So that conversation was actually really great. And that's why I kind of went into the review really expecting this, because in that one, he revealed to me that, you know, with the new data they have that showed that I'm twice as productive as any other member on the team. And
that's awesome.
So when I heard that, I was like, why is this going to be shared with me if I'm not?
Okay, now hold on a second. Hold the phone. Mercedes, you know I'm on your team. I'm wearing a Mercedes shirt right now. Team Mercedes. I'm really not, but you get the point. I'm on your team. But I just heard something. He never said anything specifically about a promotion.
No, not on that call.
Okay, then. So you assumed.
Mm-hmm.
That's dangerous. I'm not saying you did anything wrong. What I'm trying to do is set you up for the next conversation, because there needs to be another conversation. But you got to be very careful, because I'm hearing really good things. I'm hearing that the meeting before your review, your leader, he was telling you that you're like off the charts productive. You just had a review that was all positive and you got a 5% bump. But I didn't hear what you told me was happening, and I think you got to be careful there, because if he had said in that meeting prior to the review, hey, we are actively looking at promoting you, we want to see this, this, and this happen, or these kind of things got to happen, or we're looking at some, we got some timelines here or there, you know, whatever, 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 and then we think that's going to happen, well, then that has been effectively teased, not promised, but teased as a possibility, but I didn't hear that from you. Did you leave that out, or did that not ever happen?
Well, let me just back it up just a little bit. So about probably like 7 months ago now, I was up for one of the promotions in our position, And I ended up, you know, they let me know I was one of the top picks, but they ended up picking someone else.
Okay.
And the feedback that I got was they just weren't sure if I could be confident in the role.
Okay.
And so ever since then, I've been working with my manager to improve my confidence.
Great.
Take on these extra projects. And we've had these discussions about how I want to grow in my role, how I want to get to that promotion point.
Good.
And so I feel like because of that and all this kind of planning, I kind of felt like this was going to be the moment.
Okay, I got it. Totally understand. And again, I'm on your team, but I'm going to play the role of older brother or dad or however old I am to you. Who knows? You know, point is, you felt like it was going to happen and it didn't happen. So had you gotten the 5% raise that you did get and all the positive comments and you got a promotion with that, would you have called me? Be honest.
That's a good question.
Be honest. I'm not judging you. There's no wrong answer. I want to know. Would you have called me over the 5%? Or would you have said, well, I got 5% and I got promoted. Would you have called me?
No. Well, I feel like for me, it wasn't as much about the raise as it's about getting the promotion.
That's why I asked the question. That's why I asked the question. And I think that is right, because that's why you reacted the way you did. You were like, I don't know if I would have called you, Ken, because the promotion matters more than the raise. It does. It matters to everybody that way. We want to know that we're making a unique contribution and that we're valued for our contribution. Isn't that true?
Correct.
And the promotion would have said that to you, and you probably wouldn't have called me. I know, tell me if I'm wrong, I know you wouldn't have called me if you'd have gotten the 10% bump and the promotion. You wouldn't even be called. You and I wouldn't even be talking right now.
Of course not.
Of course not. So, you called me today to ask me what? What'd you really call about?
I just feel like maybe the communication wasn't clear, which is kind of like we
possible.
Discussed.
Yeah, it's possible. I agree. I see that. Do you want to go back to him? You want to go back to your leader and talk about this?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think that's why you called me. Yeah, here's what I think. I think you need to go back to your leader and say, hey, I am so grateful for the bump in pay. And I want to be here, assuming you want to be here, because I think you do want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you go back to him and go, hey, I'm grateful for the bump in pay, but I got to tell you, I want to continue to add so much value that I can increase my responsibilities and my influence through a promotion. I'm not asking you to tell me right now, but I would love to stay on a track of growth, not just financial growth, which you gave me a raise, but I want to grow professionally. Can we work together to come up with a growth plan that will allow me to be measured and work my way into a promotion? That's how I would approach this. Anything short of that is going to sound entitled and he could be defensive. But if you do it that way, I think that's pretty healthy. That's what I would do. And I think that's what you're asking me. How do I move forward on this? Because I think for you to leave right now would be immature and it would be a slight bit too soon. I think you've been, listen, you got a great review. I think you're closer to a promotion than you realize.
Okay.
And I don't think you have to fight for it, but it is okay to ask about it and to be measured on it. Does that help?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I was just like, I didn't know if I should go back and ask for that clarification, but it's just kind of been on my mind.
I wouldn't ask. Don't ask for clarification. Just say, hey, I know in a couple of our conversations prior to my review, we talked about the idea of being promoted, and I just want you to know, I want to be promoted, but I also know I have to earn it. And and to the extent that we need to create a growth plan that measures me and holds me accountable, and I develop the tools necessary, because here's the deal. When they absolutely believe you're worthy of a promotion, they're going to come to you anyway. So hang in there. Don't be discouraged, because I think they do value you. Don't get confused, okay? As an outsider, I think they're showing you some value. Would you like it to be more? Sure. You know? But that's life. Earn it. I believe you're going to earn it. And I know you're worth it. So hang in there, kiddo. You're just getting started. The best is yet to come. All right, folks. My time is almost up. You matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Money should be fun, not stressful. I'm Rachel Cruze, and I'll show you practical tips on how to save money in your everyday life and get out of debt even faster on The Rachel Cruze Show. I'll show you that you can take control of your money and create a life you love. Listen to The Rachel Cruze Show wherever you listen to podcasts.